WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, finally today, as you just heard on the news, a little bit of good news on housing. This morning we see that existing home sales were up much higher than expected for August. Yesterday, though, we learned housing starts dropped in August and foreclosures were up. 20% of homeowners owe more on their mortgages than their homes are worth. Plus, with interest rates declining, three-quarters of those underwater homeowners are paying far more in interest than they would if they bought their homes today. So joining me now, not just to review some of the bad news, but also to talk about his plan for helping those underwater homeowners, is Christopher Mayer, a professor of real estate and the co-director of the Richmond Center for Business, Law, and Public Policy at the Columbia University Business School. Professor Mayer, welcome to WNYC.
Good to talk to you, Brian.
And you got to testify before Congress about some of your ideas recently, is that right?
Yeah, I was at a Senate subcommittee a week ago. I mean, I think, you know, it's maybe a sad sign of the times when you're starting with sort of, you know, what a home sales and housing starts look like in your report, because, you know, these are usually obscure statistics that, you know, nobody but a few economists and, you know, Wall Street analysts are interested in. But today, with the housing market the way it is, you know, people are really paying attention.
Yeah, so central to the macroeconomic distress and also to people's individual experience of the suffering in this economy. So how good is this good news today about existing home sales being significantly up for the month of August?
Look, I mean, any positive news, you know, you got to be happy with. But, you know, when you look at the report, the growth in home sales to a great extent is driven by investors who are coming into the market and represent a higher proportion of sales. The investors are turning around and renting those properties. Typically, they're paying with cash. So when one looks at this, it's not that, you know, lots of new people are coming into the market. You know, there's the percentage of new home buyer or, you know, first time home buyers is kind of flat.
Listeners, what do you want to say about your experience with housing recently? Have you refinanced your mortgage as rates have been going down, or have you tried and failed? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. And what would you like to see as the nation begins to debate resetting housing policy? We'll get into that with our guest. What do you want to see? We obviously had a policy as a nation that made it very easy, maybe too easy, for people to get loans. What should happen next to keep housing available, to keep housing affordable? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or just tell us your recent experience in the housing market. Did you just sell an existing home? Did you get what you hoped to? Did you buy one? Are you underwater with your mortgage and trying to refi or whatever? 212-433-9692. For real estate expert Christopher Mayer from the Columbia University Business School. Professor, could you talk about the housing market's part in the overall economic picture? Especially,
sure.
I'm thinking, how is unemployment linked to housing?
Well, in a traditional recovery, you know, the previous worst recession we had from the Great Depression was in the early 1980s. And we saw new home construction in that recession, after briefly troughing at, you know, an annualized rate of 500,000 homes, jumped up to 2 million. That was millions of jobs that were created. And when people talk about investment, when the Federal Reserve and, you know, economists talk about, you know, increasing investment in the recovery, housing is traditionally one of the places where we see a pickup in investment. We're just not seeing it in this recovery, and we're not going to either because of the problems. So the problems in the housing market are keeping down the, you know, just literally job creation. But I would also point to what's happening to homeowners. And, you know, I thought Paul Brown's report earlier was a wonderful summary of where things sit at the moment, which is credit is really tight. There are many people who are sitting locked into mortgages at, you know, 5.75%, 6% or more, who historically would have refinanced those mortgages to take advantage of rates which are now below 4.25%, but can't. And so that also affects consumer confidence. That affects literally consumer spending. And that's a second channel that really housing is impairing the macroeconomy. And the third channel is actually through the banks. When Bank of America is trading, you know, at, you know, 35 cents of book value, a lot of it's because people are worried about losses. And, you know, part of the issue with our financial system, Joe Nocera wrote a good piece in the New York Times about this, is that lending isn't happening as it should be. And that's also impairing the recovery.
Donna in Sherman, Connecticut. You're on WNYC. Hi, Donna.
Yes, hi there. I'd like to report that I am one of those families, myself, my husband, my daughter. We bought at the top of the market. We actually bought the literally least expensive home in our town at that time. And our mortgage rates, we were kind of forced into a situation of having a first and second mortgage. And our rates are 7% on the first mortgage, 9.1% on the second.
Wow.
We have an impeccable record of paying our mortgage, but we have found it absolutely really impossible to, you know, go to the banks and try to talk to them and then look at our credit history. And we know we're underwater just by having a real estate appraisal. We didn't pay for the appraisal ourselves. But we know by watching what's happening in our community that we're definitely underwater.
Is part of what you're saying that you've tried to refinance at today's lower interest rates, but they won't let you?
Yes, that's definitely part of what I'm trying to say. And I'm also trying to say that I know for a fact that's the experience of many friends and acquaintances.
Yes.
And therefore, the experience of many friends and acquaintances is foreclosure. The banks are making foreclosure an easier option. And that's just wrong. And my plan, if I may, I'm not an economist, I'm a school teacher, but,
probably a
you
good
know,
thing.
Just like Bill Clinton had said, you know, it's the economy, stupid. I feel like somebody should be saying, hey, it's the housing market, stupid. And let's bring back something called usury laws. And perhaps, just perhaps, if they set some standard that if you were a family, I understand there need to be standards and it can't be all open-ended and crazy. But if you were a homeowner that did buy during a certain time period, let's say between whatever was the peak, 2002 to 2006 or 7, and if you are also a homeowner whose interest rate is above, let's say, 6%, you know, you should be in the short line, so to speak, to
right.
be able to go to the bank with your stellar credit record, and automatically the highest interest rate that anyone in that situation would be given would be 6% or 5.5%.
That's Donna, hang on a sec. I want to get a reaction both to your plan and to your situation. Chris Mayer, of course, when she says usury laws, those would prevent against the charging of exorbitant interest rates. But here, why is Donna, if she really has exorbitant credit, unable to refinance her mortgage?
Well, you know, this is – Donna, first let me say I'm incredibly sympathetic to your plight, and I hear this when I talk to people all the time. As you say, you're far from alone in this problem. And the sad thing is that, you know, much of the problem at the moment is not just a problem of the banks. The federal government, through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, have actually taken active steps to make it harder for you to refinance. They charge additional fees. They have been imposing very strong liability standards, and they have been really hammering on people originating loans, making it very hard for making them not want to do what they would normally be doing, which is calling you up and saying, let's help you refinance. So there are steps that are being taken not just through the banks, but also through parts of the government to
why is that? Does the government
impair this process?
Does the government see those barriers as being in the national interest for some reason?
Well, this is one of the one hand giveth, the other hand taketh away problem. You know, both policymakers at the Federal Reserve as well as President Obama in his recent job speech pointed to the housing market and the inability of people like Donna to refinance as something that's really impairing the recovery. The problem is we have this separate entity which is running Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac own a bunch of those 7% mortgage bonds that your mortgage has. And so what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are doing is kind of protecting that position
and
so making it very hard to refinance.
Donna's proposal that anybody who bought in those years at the height of the bubble and has good credit be allowed to refinance at no more than 6%. Why would that be a political non-starter? You would think that politicians might run to something like that because it's so many Americans who are well-meaning and relatively innocent and have good credit.
So the first thing is our proposal is even broader reaching than what Donna proposed. So we've been writing with Glenn Hubbard, who's dean at Columbia Business School, and Alan Boyce, who's CEO of the Epsilon Project, have been writing, you know, for the better part of 3 years that we think we should have a broad refinancing program that opens to all borrowers who have above market interest rates to refinance at no cost. And we think the rates for those refinancings, as long as it's a government-guaranteed first loan, would be 4.25% or less, so that we could help people like Donna in the market. And I would also say your comment about politicians, there are bills in Congress, Boxer and Isaacson, which are both Democratic and Republican co-sponsors, have a bill in the Senate, and Cardoza has the Home Act in the House. And I think you're going to start to, you know, the hearing I was at in at the Senate last week was about those bills. And I think you're going to start to see a lot of traction on this effort. But I also think the administration, most of this does not require legislation. And I think the administration is looking very hard at this because they do recognize that, you know, if we leave, you know, tens of millions of people behind, and particularly homeowners who are really underwater, we're not going to get much recovery.
Donna, maybe a little bit of hope on the policy horizon.
Yes, no, I very much appreciate hearing that, and I will continue to be hopeful, and it's quite long overdue.
Thank you very much for your call. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
By the way, just a statistic, Donna, you know, the recent report on underwater borrowers found 3/4 of those people who are underwater have well above market interest rates. So,
I understand that I'm not alone, and, you know, one always is happy that one is not alone. One is not happy when one is not alone in a very horrible circumstance. But your news gives me hope, and if any government official out there is listening, please take up the Donna and or your plan, sir, you just mentioned.
That's it. We'll call it Donna's Law. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck. Shelley in West Orange, you're on WNYC. Hello, Shelley.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I would like to know how much of what's going on now with the policies regarding mortgages is due to political machinations to basically make it more difficult for homeowners to have, an easier situation. Basically so that Obama can fail and people can be angry at him so that they can get him out of office. And if there's anything that can be done about this, from the side of the public, is there somebody we can call or write to say, you know, don't make a situation where people are finding themselves having to leave their homes, leave their schools, leave their communities, because of, as Donna said, usurious practices.
Yes, Shelley, thank you. And does this, relating to her question and her frustration or suspicions with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac being too politicized to actually put forth policies in the public interest, right now they're raising the fees that they charge on mortgages that they guarantee, and they're lowering the price point on mortgages that they can back, that is fewer I think as of the end of this month, fewer mortgages will be available for Fannie and Freddie loan guarantees, which means they'll be harder to get. So why are they doing this now?
Well, again, Fannie and Freddie are not tasked with working in the public interest, and this is part of conservatorship, which is the sort of legal term for where Fannie and Freddie are at the moment. The U.S. government doesn't own 100% of them. They only own 80%. And so there's a conservator whose complete job is to maximize the sort of financial viability or maybe, say, reduce the losses as much as possible. So that doesn't take into account any effect of helping people who are underwater or helping stimulate the mortgage market going forward. I don't think this is an issue of, you know, politicians who are trying to prevent President Obama's agenda from getting going, because I think a lot of this are these are hard issues that the administration, but ones the administration can take on its own. So this, a lot of this doesn't require legislation. And, you know, Fannie and Freddie's efforts just, you know, what they're doing at the moment just reiterates how important it is to try and find viable private market opportunities for capital to come in and to sort of have a broader mandate for what they're doing, not to lose money, but to recognize at this point that they are really, you know, an important part of making sure the housing market doesn't collapse further. And, you know, the frustrating thing for me as an economist is that we're fighting a lot about the budget deficit, and I understand that completely. But most of the fixes here are not things that involve, you know, taxpayer money. This is, you know, the Congressional Budget Office just came out with a report that reaffirmed the idea that these kinds of reforms are pretty much budget neutral to the government. It's much more institutional issues, and a lot of it has to do with sort of, you know, kind of acknowledging once and for all the kind of liabilities and problems we had from the crisis, but deciding we're going to move on. And that's hard. There are a lot of embedded constituencies who have different views, but I don't think it's sort of a – I don't think that, that this is sort of a political effort to block something that, you know, that would, you know, help the help or harm the president's reelection bid.
Let's hear one more story for – real estate expert Christopher Mayer from the Columbia University Business School, who's got his own proposal that the Obama administration is apparently interested in for a kind of a universal no-fee refi program if your home is underwater. Anne in Middletown, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yes, hi. I'm a realtor here in the area, Monmouth County, New Jersey. So I deal with the frustrations every day. But my husband and I have our own story. We have a, which I guess you would call a jumbo mortgage. 2007, we renovated our home. So now we're paying over 6%. We're making those payments every month, but it's difficult. He's an attorney, so he's self-employed. And I obviously am self-employed. So, and I deal with a change in my income because of everything that's going on in the real estate market. So my point is we have tried many times. My husband's in the process of trying again to refinance our home. We're getting quotes of these ridiculous rates that just kill us that we can't get, okay, because our house, we're not underwater, but we probably owe what it's worth. We could qualify for a VA loan, but there's a 3% fee to get that, which we don't have. So if we're already paying, we're making our payments to our huge bank lender that we have, why are they not maybe compelled, and I know this is never going to happen because there's more regulation, but why are they entitled to be, keep collecting that high interest rate? Mm-hmm. Why can't we refinance with the lender that we have right now? Because clearly we'll make the lower payments if we're making the payments that we're making already.
And thank you. And it's, gosh, it's almost the same question over and over again that every caller is asking, and it just highlights how many people are in this situation in the country, how much of a national issue, if not crisis, it is, and why proposals like yours are so necessary right now, even though they're bottled up.
Right. Well, I agree with you, Brian, and, you know, again, these are, you know, there are tens of millions of people who are saying the same thing, and, you know, Anne's problems are really, you know, widespread. I would say that if she has a jumbo loan that is not guaranteed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or the FHA or VA, which is about 37 million of the mortgages outstanding, she wouldn't, unfortunately, qualify under our program. We have been doing work on trying to find ways to help the remaining group of people, which is a very significant group, and probably, you know, because of the high home prices in the New York area, a lot of the listeners here, you know, may bump into that problem. I really think we have to sort of fix the housing market in order for the financial system to work better, and we need to get more people coming in who are willing to make mortgages. And that's going to take some work. But, you know, Ann sees it on both sides, both as a homeowner and as a real estate broker, that we don't fix this until, you know, we deal with the problems. I will say that her representative, Senator Menendez, was the one who convened the hearing in Washington and is sort of very interested. And I would encourage your listeners to talk to their representatives in the House and the Senate and certainly in the White House and, you know, and tell their stories.
And we have a minute
left. There are solutions.
I read that the Obama administration is very interested in your plan to make these refinancings much more available and at no fee or low fee. How interested have they told you they are? And can they just snap their fingers at the executive level and make this happen without Congress?
I think there are, you know, this isn't something you can snap your fingers and do, but there are ways that this can be worked out. We have a website which goes through some really detailed solutions to the issues that have come up. But it's not simply snapping your fingers, but it's also they're all things that we think can be done administratively. So we don't believe this requires legislation to do, but it requires some work, and I think, you know, we're seeing some efforts to do that. And, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, as with your listeners, I'm looking forward to hearing the results of some of that.
Glimmers of hope on the housing front in the existing home sales numbers that came out about an hour and a half ago, and on the policy front from Christopher Mayer, who presented the proposal we've been hearing about to the Obama administration and at a public Senate hearing convened by Senator Menendez last week. He's a professor of real estate and co-director of the Richmond Center for Business, Law, and Public Policy at the Columbia University Business School. Thank you so much.
Great to be here, Brian. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, as if we didn't have enough problems, a new map explores how many slaves your lifestyle uses without you even realizing it. This is an incredible interactive website. We'll tell you how to use it, and we will use one of our producers as an example of how many slaves she employs or enslaves without actually realizing it, just by going through the motions of her normal New York life. So stay with us.